The Supreme Court's decision yesterday reversed a century-long congressional ban on corporate spending in candidate elections and decades of high court decisions upholding that ban. The ruling by implication also invalidates a ban on union spending, as well as similar state bans. Both campaign reform advocates and critics called the decision an earthquake in the law, transformative, or as former Republican National Committee General Counsel Ben Ginsburg put it,
it is going to look an awful lot like the Wild Wild West once the campaign season heats up more.
To critics of campaign finance restrictions like Ginsburg, that's as it should be because they believe corporations have a First Amendment right to express their views through campaign spending. The decision will restructure the way election campaigns are run, not just at the federal level, but at the state and local level, too. Trevor Potter, former chairman of the Federal Election Commission and general counsel for Senator John McCain's presidential campaign, notes that corporate spending bans in 24 states and countless localities will be obliterated almost overnight.
Then suddenly, the prospect of a corporation that's unhappy with a zoning decision or the action of a local mayor being able to go in and spend enough money to defeat them in the next election or elect a new town council all with corporate funds is going to be a big shock.
Judicial elections in every state will now see more corporate and union spending too, and in Congress, the floodgates are now fully open. Or as former GOP counsel Ben Ginsburg says,
they will now be able to spend oodles squared.
Experts on both sides of the issue said yesterday that, at least initially, the Republican Party is likely to benefit from the decision. Jan Barron is an advocate for lifting the ban on corporate spending.
The potential beneficiary here would be the party or the candidates who are perceived as being more beneficial to free enterprise and business.
Experts pointed to other potential consequences of yesterday's ruling. Parties may be weakened because they're still limited by law in the money they can raise, while corporations and unions can now spend with abandon. As a result, there may be increased pressure in Congress to remove limits on party spending. Former Republican counsel Ginsburg.
I do believe that this whole past 35 years of reform has now put us in a really bad system where candidates, either on their own or through parties, are small voices in the debate, and the special interest groups are running supreme.
President Obama blasted yesterday's ruling as a victory for Wall Street, big banks, big oil, and big insurance companies, and he called on Congress to take steps to fix it. But reform advocates admitted privately that they could see few avenues to do that in light of the Supreme Court's broad language declaring that corporations have a First Amendment right of free speech akin to individuals and rejecting outright years of congressional findings that money is a corruptive influence in politics. Former FEC Chairman Potter called the court's decision essentially naive, and he lamented the retirement of Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who served as a GOP leader in the Arizona State Senate before becoming a judge. 7 years ago, she wrote part of the decision upholding the McCain-Feingold law. That decision was reversed yesterday by a newly energized conservative majority that includes two justices named to the court by President Bush after O'Connor's retirement. Trevor Potter.
The absence of O'Connor makes such a difference on this issue because she really was the only one who absolutely got it as a legislator. And you know, you've got nine justices who all have a completely different background, either academics or executive branch, and they don't have a personal understanding of what goes on in a legislature and how the money is raised and what the pressures are.
Other critics of the decision were more blunt. Here's Fred Wertheimer, who's helped craft every piece of campaign reform legislation since Watergate.
This is the most radical and destructive campaign finance decision in Supreme Court history. Chief Justice Roberts and four of his colleagues abandoned longstanding judicial principles, judicial precedents, and judicial restraint.
For the foreseeable future, though, the conservative court majority is in the driver's seat by a one-vote majority. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
I'm Peter Overby in Washington. One change that's likely from yesterday's court decision, truth in advertising. You know those weird political ads that tell you to call the candidate? Like this one by the Committee for Truth in Politics in 2008. It accuses then-candidate Barack Obama of going easy on child predators.
Barack Obama was the only member that voted to allow early release for convicted sexual abusers. Call Senator Obama. Tell him to support the Prevention and Deterrence of Crimes Against Children Act.
It's a legal trick. The tell him line is supposed to make the ad be about an issue, not about the presidential election. And issue ads could be funded with money that would be illegal in a real campaign ad, like corporate money. Now, the Supreme Court says corporations can pay for political ads straight up. David Keating is director of the anti-tax advocacy group Club for Growth.
So the ads will get more honest, I think. You know, instead of having all this nonsense about call them, they'll tell you what to do. Go vote.
But honest ads weren't really on the court's agenda. It was all about freeing up the speech rights of corporations. Unions, too. But Steve Rosenthal, a longtime strategist in the union and progressive movements, says the court has tilted the playing field.
To now allow corporations to open their checkbooks and spend as much as they want, it's a very, very big problem. Unions will never have the type of money that corporations have.
And that's not even the biggest way in which yesterday's decision rearranges American politics.
It's a dramatic shift in the allocation of power or influence in campaigns.
Larry Norton is a former general counsel at the Federal Election Commission.
Candidates will still be subject to relatively low limits on individual contributions, but they will compete to get their voice heard and to control the message in the election with large corporations that will be able to spend unlimited sums on election ads.
Not everyone predicts an immediate tidal wave of corporate money here. Campaign finance lawyer Ken Gross says that when it comes to political money generally, most of his corporate clients ask him, quote, how little they can do and say they've maxed out. And big publicly held corporations tend to be risk averse. They might not try this till the Federal Election Commission writes its regulations and some other more daring corporations go first. Chris LaCivita will be looking for those adventurous corporations, too. He's a political consultant, best known for producing the Swift Boat ads against Democrat John Kerry in 2004. He says the 2008 campaign was bad. FEC enforcement scared off too many donors.
There were some committed Americans who wanted to communicate a message. You know, threats from the government be damned, they were still going to be involved. But at the end of the day, we were only able to accomplish a tiny portion, budget-wise, of what we originally set out to do.
But it's looking different now. When I called LaCivita yesterday, he sounded like a kid who had opened his Christmas presents and gotten just what he wanted. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.